Just before I share for a few moments tonight on Thoughts on Faith and Prayer, I want to just read to you some praise reports from people who are online at this moment. From Toronto, Canada, thank you for all your prayers in the year 2017. My mind is completely healed, and now I know freedom that I've never had for years. Thank God. From Florida, praise the Lord, my friend's wife had a stroke and has been healed. She's now back doing things by herself. Thank you for praying, Times Square Church. From somewhere here in the U.S., a boy in a coma for 1 year due to a motorcycle accident. Doctors gave little hope to his mom. A few days ago, they insisted on pulling his life support. Prayers were said, and now this boy is alive and has celebrated Christmas with his family. Hallelujah. 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 From Brooklyn, praise God, my grandson, Ronnie, who's 8 years old, who has autism, started praying very loudly today while playing Wii, all in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God. I don't know what Wii is, but I guess it's all right. From Jamaica, a single mother of two, I sent requests long ago. God answered and has provided for us this entire year in ways never expected. To God be all the glory. Keep praying, Times Square Church. From Illinois, you've been praying for a very broken family who once walked with Christ. God showed up in amazing ways for Christmas and is beginning to heal our fractures. Thank you, Jesus. These are just some samples of what the Lord is doing and how he is wanting and willing to bless the homes of the righteous. And this is what I want to talk to you a little bit about tonight. Now, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word, which indeed is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. I thank you, Lord, that every word you spoke has the power to create a universe. I ask you, Lord, to give us an understanding that when we're reading the things that you have said, there is incredible power. There's our laws in it that cannot be transgressed. Father, I just thank you for it with all my heart. I pray, God, that you give us the courage to ask you to let our homes and our lives flourish again. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, the psalm that I'm going to start with seems to be unrelated to what I'm going to talk about tonight, but in a way it is. It's Psalm 2, where the psalmist says, why did the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Now, you may or may not have noticed, but in America today, there is a rage that is rising up. And I happen to personally believe that we are experiencing a coup of the godless and a takeover of a nation by godlessness. It's happened in history, in other societies, at other times. We are witnessing it again, a rising up of people who want no borders. They want no boundaries on behavior. They want no consequence. They want to take life and call it a good thing and freedom and just and right. And I can go on and on, but it's a rise of godlessness in measure because the Church of Jesus Christ played fast and loose with the truth of God. And I believe that the people of God didn't live in a righteous manner. When things were going well, we lost the burden. That's why in America today, there are very, very few prayer meetings left because there's really not much of a burden when the whole focus is on self. Not realizing that while we focused on ourselves as a church age, that the enemy came in the back gate and began to set up camp. And today is making every conceivable attempt to eradicate our history as a nation and to rewrite the future of this country in laws of godlessness. And folks, this is a serious moment. And you know, we look around us today and we look at ourselves, we look at our own lives, our own struggles, our own trials, and we ask ourselves the question, what can we do? And how can we make a difference? Now, the Bible makes it very, very clear that if we choose to dwell in righteousness, there's a blessing of God that comes upon our lives and consequently our homes, then upon those that our lives have influence over, and ultimately over the nation. That is a promise in the Word of God. And it begins with you. It begins with me saying, Lord, there are promises in the Word of God, but my responsibility is to determine to live in righteousness. Now, let me define that. That means I accept the cleansing of my sin through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I ask God to come into my life through His Holy Spirit and to break the bondages of sin that found strongholds in my life and to take me from where I am into that life which God has destined for me. Now, you see, as a Christian, we don't receive Christ just so we can validate our lifestyle and our goals. No, everything changes. He bought us with His blood. We're not our own anymore. We belong to Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and Savior, which ultimately gives Him the right to our future, to govern us, to guide us, to lead us, to convince us and convict us. The Holy Spirit comes into your life and He begins to convince you that this is not worth giving your time to. I have something else for you. Let me give you an example. Years ago, when I was a police officer, I sang in a choir, policeman's choir. It was a good community thing. We went around and sang in different places and did some good. But I was one of their soloists. There were two soloists in the choir. And we were singing songs that I didn't agree with. The more I sang them, the more hollow I felt inside, the more I felt distanced from this thing, which was not really a bad thing. We were singing a lot of the old time. You know, one of the songs was "The Lord Above Made Man to Help His Neighbor." You ever know that song? No matter where on land or sea or you roam, but with a little bit of luck, when He comes around, you won't be home. Well, I was in a rehearsal one time. Yeah, I didn't believe that anymore. I didn't believe with a little bit of luck when my neighbor comes around needing help that I won't be home. And it's hard as a Christian to be singing this stuff. You know, you're standing in front of these audiences as large as here tonight, and you're singing all this stuff because they've come to hear you, and you're singing this crazy song, which you don't believe anymore. And I felt in my heart that God was telling me, I have something better for you. See, it wasn't a bad thing. It's just one of those old, I don't know where they got it, Sound of Music maybe or something like that. They got it somewhere anyway. And I remember, you know, Ivory knows because she's laughing. She knows where that song comes from. But I got to the point where I was in a rehearsal. I opened my mouth to sing and nothing came out. It was like, I couldn't sing it anymore. The conviction of God was so strong on me. And there were other Christians in this choir. And when I finally announced that I was going to resign from it, they were a little upset with me. And they said, well, you're judging us. I said, no, I'm not judging anybody. I feel God calling me to something else. Something deeper. You see, that's living in righteousness. Now, we know what that was today. I didn't know it then. He doesn't show you the whole plan. He just says, I want you to leave here because I have something better for you over here. You don't understand. It's going to be a journey. But I'm going to use your voice for another purpose. Not just to sing songs that are light and fluffy and you don't really agree with and they don't theologically do any good for anybody. As nice as that might have been. You see, my point is just this. I'm not suggesting that if you're singing in a choir somewhere, you have to quit. What I'm asking or suggesting is that when God starts leading, follow Him. Amen. Follow where He leads. That's part of the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart and speaking into the very essence of your life. God leading to something deeper than just a light, fluffy life that where He can have much more influence through you than you ever dreamed your life could be. Proverbs chapter 11, let me just read to you some of the absolutes of the Word of God. Verse 5. Now here's the difference between the righteous and the wicked. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. God will lead you. I promise you. If you make the choice to live for Him, He will lead you. And He will direct you into a pathway that you will never regret. When you get to your last days, when you put your feet up in your bed for the last time, there'll be something in your heart that says, oh God, thank you. Thank you that I listened to your voice. Thank you that I let you lead me because you promised me that if I would live in a righteous way with you, that you would direct my way. Verse 11 of chapter 11 of Proverbs says, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it's overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. By the blessing of you living for God, by the blessing of you walking in a righteous way, this something happens in the city. That's what the word of God says. The city is exalted. The people are lifted up out of sorrow and difficulty and heartache everywhere you go, passing through the valley of weeping, as the scripture says, you make it a blessing. Verse 12 says, he who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. Oh, I'm so tired of the vile talk in this generation, aren't you? I'm so tired of the cursing, even in the media. I'm so tired of it now. And it tells me in this verse that these people are devoid of wisdom. The wisdom that comes from God, because they despise their neighbor. But a man of understanding holds his peace. A person who has the understanding of God knows when to speak and knows when to be quiet. Knows what to say and is moving in a direction with their voice to make a difference everywhere they go. Not to cast down, not to castigate other people, not to throw out profanities. These people are devoid of wisdom. Verse 21 says, though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished, but the posterity of the righteous will be delivered. Even though they join hand in hand in the original King James, they will still suffer the punishment of God. But that which comes after you and I, our families, our friends, those that we have influence over, will receive a deliverance from God himself. Chapter 12, verse 7 says, the wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. The house of the righteous will stand. Fear might be on every side. We prayed about that tonight. But if you build your life and you build your home, even if you're the only one in it, you build it on the truth of God. And no matter what happens in the days ahead of us, you will stand. That is a promise of God for you. Verse 19 of Proverbs chapter 12 says, the truthful lip will be established forever, but a lying tongue is just for a moment. All throughout history, there have been marvelous truths that have been spoken that are recorded. Not too many liars are recorded. The words just seem so profound, but they're just for a moment. They're not worth recording because they're not worth anything. Verse 21 says, no grave trouble will overtake the righteous, but the wicked will be filled with evil. Yes, you'll have trouble, but no trouble that can overpower you. No trouble that can take away your victory or your testimony. Nothing like that. Chapter 14, again, verse 19. The evil will bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. Verse 25, a true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. You will be given a soul-winning ability if you choose to live for God. Everyone here should be an evangelist by now. Unless you're a novice, unless you're brand new to the faith of God, you should be an evangelist. All you have to do to be an evangelist is tell somebody what Christ has done for you, if you are living in truth. It's hard to tell them that sitting at a bar drinking what they're drinking. Verse 26, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place, a refuge. When you choose to live for God, you have a confidence in your heart. Like David said in the Psalm, though the mountains be moved into the sea, though the seas roar and swell, even if it gets dark at noonday, none of it matters. There's a confidence in your heart. Your citizenship is already transferred to heaven. You know your name is written in the book of life in heaven. And there's a strong confidence even in the midst of the deepest trial. Verse 33 of Proverbs 14 says, wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding, but what is in the heart of fools is made known. There's a wisdom in the heart of those who choose to live for God. And verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The last verse, verse 11, before we pray, the house of the wicked will be overthrown, but the tent of the upright will flourish. Let me say that again to you. The house of the wicked will be overthrown, but the tent of the upright will flourish. And I want us to pray tonight that there would be a flourishing of the upright in our churches all across this nation. God would cause a flourishing to come back into his house again.